She inspires, educates, and informs. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. This is Gina Murphy Darling, and you are listening to the Mrs. Green's World podcast. We are an inspirational and informative place where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Thank you so much for joining us and for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. And as always, I do a big shout out to one of our amazing partners for this show, the Fairfax Companies, true leaders in the business of sustainability. Since its inception, the company has strived to be a leader in sustainability and is dedicated to improving the environment through creative and innovative management practices. To find out more about the Fairfax Companies, please visit their website at thefairfaxcompanies.com. So everybody, I love how many wonderful journeys I have been on in this journey as Mrs. Green with me and an amazing team. And this is another part of the journey. I hope you are ready for another educational and informative show that is being podcast from Chile. I like to say Chile. And it's a first for us. And I think it's going to be exciting and informative and more importantly, give us hope for the future because of what our guest is going to share with us. We're going to be talking about the bio nurse, sometimes called the bio patch, and generating spaces for life. Our guest for this show is Camila Hernandez. Hey, Camila, did I say that okay? Is that good?
Yes.
Good. They were a part of a bio nurse team from the CEDES Regional Center for Fruit and Vegetables Innovation in Chile, and I think it's in Valparaiso, is that right? Did I say it correctly?
Yes, in Quillota.
Okay, that worked on a project to address one of the biggest global issues facing our planet today, food supply and food scarcity due to the impact of climate change. It's happening everywhere in different ways. And what they did is they used a biomimicry approach to study nature, which we're going to hear about in detail, to increase soil health and vitality. And they set about to develop a product that would actually mimic nature, thus biomimicry, to change agricultural food production fundamentals. And the result was BioNurse. I was actually present at the BioNurse 2016 conference where they were announced as the winners. And I can tell you that there were lots of tears in the audience. Mine were some of those tears. And the Bioneers conference is amazing. It's in San Rafael, and their project won the first ever $100,000 Ray of Hope Prize. I mean, Camila, that was a happy day for your team. Yes?
Yes.
A big one. It was the Biomimicry Global Design Challenge, which is an international design competition and accelerator program that crowdsources nature-inspired solutions to big sustainability challenges such as climate change, food system issues, water management, and alternative energy. And this project is so exciting in all of those issues that it's addressed. And as I said, seeing the reaction of the two Camillas who were there, it was Camila Gratacos and you, right?
Yes.
Okay, so let's get started because I really have a lot of questions and I know that you have a lot of great answers. So why don't you tell me a little bit about your background and how you came to be working on the project?
Okay. I studied 5 years industrial design in a School of Architecture and Design in Valparaiso, okay, of the Catholic University. That is a very special academy because they always keep us going to watch, to observe what happened in the world. That was like the first homeworks for us, like draw a lot and watch a lot everything what's happened,
right,
in our in the world. Camila is also industrial designer, from the same university. We are like a little clones.
The two Camillas. And,
yes, I'm both industrial designers from the same university. So both also have a lot of questions about the nature and have always been working with plants and different projects from different parts, because we wasn't like friends in our background.
Right.
We was in the same university, but we don't was like very close. But the things of the life, I finished working here in this center for a program of biological soil restoration.
Okay.
I came here like a graphic designer for helping a poster, scientific poster. And then the team want to work transdisciplinary, so they want to keep that I have continuity in the program. And for that, I start working here.
Okay.
Camila also came here for communication. And one day we knew about the Biomimicry Institute and this challenge. And that was the first time that we worked together with another members of the team, that is the director of the center, the director of the program, biologists that work here, an architect, another agronomist, and another industrial designer.
So the team was ready. Okay.
Yes. That was the first time that we started working all together in this challenge, because it was a really challenge first, understand the methodology that they present, and then like finish in a product. That was a real challenge, because we also work with a lot of scientific persons, so
right.
We have like the in our mind always have the objects or the products, like because we are industrial designers, but the other members want also take the scientific part, so it was like really fun and hard making a mix of both disciplines.
And you had to, and for you, I mean, this part that I love discovering is you were not coming at it from like a scientist or a biologist. You were really a critical part in how are we going to design this. Is that right?
Yes, yes, that was our part. But for other side, I was having in my past a really close relation with the plants, because I have like a little entrepreneur with plants. So that was also one of my doubts or one thing that I want to do with this. So for one part, the industrial design, but I have like this biological,
like a connection.
I want to keep that part.
Yes, like a love of the plants and of nature. So I would think that would be critical. And that answers one of my questions, which is a great answer, because you learned about the challenge that was put out there from the Institute, the Global Biomimicry Global Design Challenge. And what I love about it is they put out the challenge, and look at what you have created. I mean, we're going to get into what exactly the product is, but to me, this is, major praise to them for inspiring these kind of challenges. I mean, everything there that was presented at Bioneers were things that are innovations that will help the planet with a lot of pretty challenging issues. So I think that is really pretty impressive. And I know that you had to, it's an accelerator program, so you might not have done it without this big challenge. I mean, I think it got me so excited. Kelly was telling me, my show producer, that I put like stars all around your names, which meant we've got to get them on the show. It's like we've got to share with everybody what kind of things were this. So can we talk a little bit about when you started, I'm assuming, and this may not be correct, that the team had to decide what problem you wanted to address and then how to go about solving it. Is that how you started, or how did it start that you, you know, started to design your project?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the challenge was presented as from the seat to the plate of food. So you could take every part of that food system. And we have been in the past with the program of biological soil restoration. We was having like a real good observation of the restorative plants.
Got it.
So we have that background.
Okay.
But we didn't know how to put it in the food system.
Yes.
Okay. So
yes.
That was like, okay, we have the restorative plants, we know, but what we're going to do for the challenge? This is a biomimicry design challenge, so we have to describe a process or a product. We cannot say like this is the restorative plants and that's only. So that was the moment that we say, okay, let's take the methodology and go to the nature and look. Look what the nature could say to us, and maybe that we could find a solution or how to make solutions with the plants that we have, that we have to share it with the world. And with that principal doubt, we came to the nature and we look where the life is created. Where are the places for the where the nature generates spaces for life?
Right.
And because we have the plants, but what was the perfect place where the plants grow? And from we saw a lot of things. We saw like when you have a cut in the floor and all the soil goes there and start going like growing plants of different kinds. And we know that that was one side of the story.
Right.
And the agriculturists, the currently agriculturists, they break the soil for making more fertility. But we say, okay, so maybe it's not breaking the soil. What are the spaces like inside, in harsh environment, create life? And that was because we live in Chile and we have like the Cordillera, the mountains of Los Andes. And that is a harsh environment. Also, like the currently agriculture with all the monoculture and all the machines.
Right.
And we look for the nursery plants that create a perfect space for other plants, other seeds, go there and find like the perfect home. And they start the development and start the life and creating biological restoration in a very harsh environment. And we saw there like the best place where the life becomes, starts to generate, like the nursery effect that creates some plants. And like the yareta was like the worst place, the most harsh environment that we could find. But we could also see these patterns in another smaller plant. And that was the inspiration. And for that, we say, okay, we have to create a nursery for our restorative plants because we want to restore, but it's too hard to put that plant in this currently agriculture because they want all clean. So if you put new plants, they will be killed in 1 week. And that was our first, like, shining for do those things.
Right, because the plants can't tell you how they do it. So that's what when I was reading and getting ready for the show, it's like, and what is the name of the, was it, it I don't know how to say it, but is it the Yarita plant? Is that a plant?
Yarita.
So
Yarita, yes.
Yarita, okay. And what I was thinking is there are times in the desert, because we live in a very harsh climate in Arizona, and you'll be walking and it's, you know, there's very little water, and especially in the summer, and you will see like in a, like a tiny little piece of a rock where there's a little bit of dirt and then a beautiful plant grows out of it. You know what I mean? So it's like I was really understanding that, not even beginning to understand how you would mimic that if you wanted to reproduce that process. So you studied this plant, and I just want to make sure that I understand it because I'm not a scientist. You really had to see why that plant was like kind of the foundation, and then it would create the environment for other things to grow around it. Is that right?
Yes. We have to look what was the principal patterns that we need for our plants, because it's like a really big process. This plant is like 2,000. Yes, 2,000 years, like, to grow.
Oh, jeez.
In 100 years, it grows, like, 2 or 3 centimeters. So we took, like, what we could see. Because, it's like, we know that it's more complex that we can only analyze with biology or another thing. So we took, like, the first patterns to abstract and put it in our design.
And did you have...
Because it's like a real wise people. Right. I don't know how to say.
Right, but I get it. And you didn't have 2,000 years to figure it out. You had to hurry up and figure it out by the time of the competition. So it's
we
like,
have like 3 months.
Can we have 3 months? It's just, I was really enjoying thinking about the process. So when you were doing this, I want to ask about, does the Biomimicry Institute, do they help? Do the challenge, you know, the people involved in the challenge, or does, you know, like I love Biomimicry 3.8. Were there people that were helping you to, you know, give you input or educate you about how to design this? Did you get help from outside, or was it everybody just on your team?
We have more help from the part of... like the marketplace,
okay,
or how to make the product itself, because we have the biology part like more solved than the other part that was like put it real. So that in that part, Jax and Megan was like always with good disposition for us and was like the best ones. They help us a lot. But from that part, more than the biology or the design, because that was the lower part for us. But they have been always like open. If we have any need, they have the nets, and their nets are available. We have to make the required, the what we need. And that was the part that more need, the part of the market or the industrial part.
And what a great partnership, because that is a lot of the challenges that scientists face with discoveries. It's a wonderful discovery, but how do we get it to market? How do we get it so that other people can learn from what we do? Because that's not what you are supposed to be doing. You're supposed to be coming out with the product. And then it's wonderful to hear about this. It's really a public-private partnership with you as the experts in the development of the product, and then having, you know, business mentors basically that help you create something that's really market ready and is a solution. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's going to be, I just love hearing the story, and we're going to come up on a short break. And when we come back, I want you to talk a little bit in detail and take as much time as you want about what the BioNurse actually is. Like, step us through, you know, walk through the process, talk about, you know, some of the natural fibers that are involved in it, and what you actually came up with as the experts, so that you had a product. I mean, I will give out all the social media sites and videos that people can look at, because I know a lot of my listeners will be interested. But I think if we could describe to them a little bit about, you know, the process from when you decided what you were going to study and what it looks like. I mean, it's an amazing, I didn't know whether to call it a bio nurse or a bio patch. So everybody stay
here. The process is bio patch.
Bio patch. Stay here with us.
We are a bio nurse.
You are of the bio nurses. Okay, everybody stay here with us. More fun stuff. We'll be right back.
Join us for a new on-demand podcast every week at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device using the iHeartRadio or SoundCloud mobile apps. We are a proud member of the iHeartRadio, Glimmerglass, and SpeakUp networks. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Stay in touch with information about healthy living, sustainability, contests, and events by signing up for our e-newsletter on our website. If you have questions or comments about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. But right now, back to Mrs. Green.
And welcome back, everybody. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World. Thanks for being with us. Joining us for this hour is just a delightful human being and an amazing guest, and her name is Camila Hernandez, and she is part of a team from the CEDES Regional Center for Fruit and Vegetable Innovation in Chile that worked on a project to address one of the biggest global challenges facing our planet today. Let's face it, folks, food supply and food scarcity due to the impact of ever-accelerating climate change. And a little bit of information, approximately 25% of the world's soil is degraded. And this winning concept called the BioPatch, done by the bio nurses and others, it's wonderful to say that, provides a new way to protect seedlings and restore soils back to health. The bio nurses team project won the first ever $100,000 Ray of Hope Prize in the Biomimicry Global Design Challenge, an international design competition, an accelerator program that crowdsources nature-inspired solutions, thus biomimicry, to big sustainability challenges. And I just want to read a little quote here. According to John Lanier, I believe is how you say it, executive director of the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, the judges were impressed with the way the bio-nurse team utilized biomimicry on multiple levels. Moreover, we believe in their potential to commercialize and scale the concept to achieve a significant impact in the areas of the world where farming is limited due to poor soil. So welcome back, Camila Hernandez, and thanks for sharing the story with us. I'm loving it. So tell us about, it's fun. I knew it was fun, and we overcame a lot of technical challenges that we should share with the audience. There's actually a ban on dialing direct from Chile from a landline because of hacking. So we had to go around that, and thanks to my friend Scott Caddow, who worked the magic, and our team that was standing by. So we made it work because Camila and I really wanted it to. Right, Camila? It's like, we have to do this.
Yes.
We have to do this. We have to do this. So there was a will and there was a way. So tell us a little bit about the BioPatch. Just explain to us, you know, as best you can on a podcast, what it is designed to do and how it works.
Mm-hmm. First, I'm going to clear the confusion between bio-nurse and bio-patch.
Great.
Because I know that maybe that could be confused for some people. But because in the beginning, we called our product bio-nurse.
Okay.
Because it was like the nursery of the restorative plants. But then we realized that the bio-nurse principles was more than only a product. It's how our entrepreneur will work with that principles of nursery, the people that work with us, and also the product. So we made the change for call to our pilot product, BioPatch. That is the one that we was talking about.
And that helps me because I did a lot of reading, And then when I was preparing my notes, I'm like, it's a bio nurse. No, it's a bio patch. No, it's actually a bio nurse. No, they were the bio nurses. I'm like, okay.
Yes.
So the real name
is... But we are working. Yes. So we are it's like the name of the team, bio nurse. But this is only the first product because we want to do it more solutions.
There is
like thousands of problems now and thousands of solutions too.
Okay, so that's great. So the bio nurses, they're going to be back
bio
on this.
We have more products.
More products.
Yes.
You'll be back on Mrs. Green's World when you let me know that they're out and we can share it with the world. So, okay, so tell us about the bio patch.
Okay. Bio patch is a biodegradable nursery that it's created from this patch of the agriculture. In this case, we are working with corn. And this is a basis where it goes to the nurseries, and the nurseries, working with us, with the bio-nurse team, discover a certain group of restorative plants for put it in the in this basis, make it of corn, okay?
Yes.
So we're working both with the nurseries and this basis. These plants put it there, wait 1 month, and after 1 month, this basis could go directly to the field, put it in an empty space that is really degraded because has been really productive and have a lot of roots and is really compact. So BioPatch came from the nursery, put it here in this place that also have water because this is thinking for agricultural places. And in 1 year, this place will be restored and could be producing again. But not can only be producing. The hidden part of this product is that we'll incorporate biodiversity to the field. Because if you introduce biopatch to your field, you have to make a compromise and don't put agrochemicals there and have it's like a little sun in your field.
Right.
So you want to restore that place, but you also have to put your part. And the currently solutions for that problem is to put a clonal plant that will give fruits, even if the soil is very bad and sick, you will have fruit. But the real problem that we want to solve with this is to take care of the soil.
Got it.
Because that's the problem. We can have like little patch that have solutions partial, but the real problem is to help the soil. So basically is a product that works between the nurseries and the fields that helps to rescue the local plants and the local knowledge of the people that are in the nurseries to put these restorative plants into the biopatch and in a very simple way that don't take time from the agriculture, from the farmer. Sorry.
Right.
I have mixed that word. And in 1 year, you will have a biodiversity and a healthy place.
So let me ask you this to understand, because as I said, I'm not the scientist. So the bio patch begins in a nursery, correct?
Yes.
And then you move it.
It begins in the field because the first part is to make this basis in the industry. So it's a sustainable industry. We are working with that partner. We are looking more options, but that is the first time. Then go to the nursery.
Okay, and then the nursery, is that where the bio patch is actually, like what happens at the nursery before you take it back out I just want to make sure that I understand it, that you'd actually take the biopatch out into, you know, the farmland, and, you know, it's actually a product that you can transport, yes?
Yes. But with the plants.
With the plants,
okay. The first transportation goes without the plants to the nursery. Then in the nursery, they put the nourishment, put the plants.
Got it.
That was chosen with us, with a root identificator. We will say, okay, this plant could go here because it has an order. And so we work with the people because they know what plants. We have made some tests now and go to the nurseries and say, okay, I don't know, Miss Rosita, can you tell me, have you watched some plants with this kind of root? And they always say, like, yes, we have this, and that is really grateful. I don't know the word, but we feel so happy because the plants exist. So working with them, we put the plants in the biopatch, and after 1 month in the nursery, the farmer is ready to buy it and put it in the field.
You know, it's amazing.
With the plants.
Yes. So what kind
and
of plants?
So fun.
Yes, I want to see the whole thing. But what kind of plants? Can you give us an example of what kind of plants some of the biopatches have used and taken from the nursery back out to the farmers? What are the farmers excited about?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have chosen 5 groups of restorative plants. We have looking more for their roots,
okay,
for their radicular part, because we went to the soil, so that is really important, because almost time you can only see what is in the below, inside, like out of the soil, but we look what is into the soil. And we found the first group is the napiform, that are really deep roots that can reach like 2 meters. I don't know how to say it in
wow,
inch.
But I mean, that's, you mean that's how deep they go?
Yes, we
wow.
have, there's like, they're like really drills. They penetrate like real hard soils, like 2 meters or 1 meter, and with one principal root. The other group is the yes, and the other one is the pivotant, that is also really deep, but the difference is like it's more tiny than the first one. The first one is like a carrot.
Okay, good, got it.
Okay,
yes.
The napiform is like a carrot. The second one could be, I don't know the word in Spanish. We say in English is borraja.
Uh-huh.
That is really, really, really deep plant, and it's like a bad plant. The most farmers like cut it and take it away, but it's really great what this plant can do. The third group is the fascicular plant, that is like a net that breaks all the little soil. They are deep also, but the principal characteristic is that it's a lot of wood. You can see, like, we have plants, for example, like the alisum.
Uh-huh.
It's a plant that have little flowers, and if you put it in a nest, you will see how these roots like grow and never stop growing. And like really restorative roots.
Right, and are they as deep also, or do they go more out? Do they go, you know, down into the soil? They go like...
This will depend on the quality of the soil.
Okay.
Because if you have like a more degraded soil, the first time it will go from the below, from up. And when they start to restore it, making the restoration, they will go deep, like restoring the deepest capas, like different levels.
Right, right.
But it will depend on the time, because nature works with time. And we are really impatient people, so we have to give it the time.
Right. Is it going to be ready in 2 weeks? No, it's not.
No, no.
Right.
We have been accelerate this because, no, but first I will give you the five groups that,
okay,
they,
yes,
the, that are the one that covers the soil, that make like a little bed. Because if the soil doesn't have, it's like a hat, or like having hair. If you don't have hair in your head,
yes,
you will burn.
It'll burn.
So this
That's
is like
a perfect example.
Yes, you will burn.
Yes.
And the last one is like is the flowers, because we need the insects.
Okay.
And from that, you can choose three. Three is the minimum groups. We have like different mixes. Maybe you will not have like plants of the five groups, but for that we work with the nurseries, because we have to talk with the people, know what they have, if they believe us, because that is really important.
Yes, trust. Yes, there has to be,
yes,
trust. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So and also one important thing is that was I was talking about the time. That with BioPatch, we have to make all the real more tests in the field, but we want to accelerate like a little this process, bringing the nutrients to the soil in the basis that I told you about. This basis make it of corn. It includes sugar and another ingredient that will call the microorganisms,
okay,
to the party, as we say. And that will accelerate the process.
The bio nurses are taking the party to the soil.
Yes. We give them food and plants, so if there's any worm or another kind of microorganism close, it will go there and not to the other side, because they have food, they have microorganisms, sugar, plants, and it's a better place for the development.
I love it. And I love the thing, let's have the sugar party. You can't have a party without that.
Yes.
But, you know, I just want to just reflect a little bit on what I call, it's like, it's such a comprehensive, integrated thought process. So you are working with nature and the soil and the harsh conditions. You're partnering with the farmers and then the nurseries who really know. So to me, instead of like coming up with this design that doesn't work because you didn't ask anybody, it's such a wonderful example of a partnership to succeed in mimicking nature. I mean, that's what you were trying to do. How can we solve a huge problem, an ever-increasing problem around food scarcity and food security, and come up with something that is just designed for success because of how you all went about it? What a team. I mean, it's very affirming to me to see how this process all worked when I was doing the research for it. It's like so comprehensive, and I kept saying, this is so going to work. That's what I'm saying. I'm doing the notes. I'm saying, this is so going to work. It's really going to be great. So I have a question about that. When you're, I know one of the things was scale. So they want to be able to have a project that you can, you know, reproduce and that you can mimic. And I'm trying to find, you know, exactly the right words, so that you could really address the need and then share it. So I cannot believe this, but we're going to be coming up on another break. But maybe when we come back, you can talk to us a little bit about if you do this and you want to, you know, inspire solutions in other places, how will you take this model and take the BioPatch with the BioNurse team and scale it and put it, you know, in other places? And I think that's a good question. You might not have all those answers yet, but it's a certainly good one to talk about. And then what has the $100,000 actually helped you to do? Because I think it's a really wonderful thing to talk about, the Ray of Hope Award, the very first from the Ray C. Anderson Foundation, and not only how that inspired you, but now how it's going to help you. So, and in the last 20 minutes, if there's anything else that you think about that I didn't ask, we can talk about that and how to connect with you on your social media channels and how people can find out more about it. So does that sound like a good last segment? It's going so fast.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
So everybody,
it
just sounds great. You have to give my love to the other Camilla, who I saw when I was at Bioneers, and tell us about how she's doing. And everybody, when you come back, we're going to hear more about BioPatch, BioNurses, and generating spaces for life. Please stay here with me. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Green's world's mission is to preserve the planet by creating a global community of people who care about the health of the earth. We educate, inform, and inspire. Mrs. Green's World is an independent, non-political, agenda-free voice. Your generous gift enables all of us to explore the issues facing the health of the planet in a comprehensive way. As a Mrs. Green's World sustainer, you can assist us in offering trusted information, providing listeners with the tools to make their own conclusions and choose their own steps to create a healthier planet. Visit MrsGreensWorld.com and click on Become a Member today.
Welcome back, everybody. I am Gina Murphy-Darling, and this is Mrs. Green's World, and we are connected with Chile. And it's been an amazing interview, and I could not be more excited about our expansion of our reach and the things that we get to share with you because of things like Bioneers, where we go and where our soil is enriched. That's what feeds me and makes me flower is when I go to Bioneers. And I get to meet people like Camilla, the two Camillas, who were part of a team from the CEDES Regional Center for Fruit and Vegetable Innovation in Chile. And they worked on a project to address one of our biggest global challenges, as I've said in the previous parts of the podcast, food supply and food scarcity. And what could you think about that's more important? It involves everything with climate change and how to grow things in harsh conditions and the water issues. So the award-winning design, which we now know, designed by the BioNurses, is called the BioPatch, and it provides a new way to protect seedlings and restore soil back to health. That's a critical part of it. So, Camilla Hernandez, what else do you want to talk about? Can we talk a little bit about the implementation of the award and what that has helped you to do?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, it's great to win.
Yes, especially $100,000.
Somebody believes you. That is amazing. You feel like so powerful, and we are fighting for something that is for all of us. So first, about the money is something, but like to be there and everybody's clapping and saying, looking with that faces, is great. It's something like unforgettable.
And crying and jumping up and down. It was so exciting to be there, especially since it was the first one. And I just have to say, it's not like they gave you $10,000. I mean, that helps. But I love the way that the foundation set it up so that they give you enough money to really make a difference.
Yeah.
I mean, $100,000 is an impact statement. So, you know, major praise to them. So, yes, I was one of the ones crying in the audience.
That's great. Well, because it was like tears of joy.
Yes. Oh, tears of joy. That's mostly what I cry. So then how are you using the money?
We have the back of the CEDES Center. That's really great because they have been working with us for being really structured with the money, like have a real route, map of route, and say like, okay, you will do this, okay, put it money from that and from that. And because we want to do it like a lot of things, but they have been working with us, like giving us a lot of support for making be really strategic of what we are going to do with that money.
Right.
And for that, we are the most time, because we have like the vacation, summer vacation on January and February. like February, we have 1 month out of work. But in December, January, and March until this day, we have been working more to in the like map of roots. We call it like carta grant. I don't know how to say it in English.
And like a, it's you saying like a mop up route. Is that what you're calling it? What kind
yes,
of?
Yes, but we say it's like what we are going to, what will be our principal objectives, what we are going to, what will be the activities, what will be like the monies associated to that activities.
Got it.
Like, and for, with that, we have working in that, and we have know that from for this year and for the second year, we have organized our money for validate the biopatch for one site, working with the farmers, working with the nurseries, working with people that help us in the business model, working with designers also that can make us support for making the structure.
Yes,
and
yes.
For which a sustainable way for make this industrial part, because we have to validate the model, but we have also to scale it. And we believe that we could make it everything, because at least we have the money for make it.
Yes, that is principle.
Because
yes, you need money to make it happen.
Yes, that's true. So we have like organized our money for which the important things for us. So that would be great, because where in this center you have to always be I don't know, the for different challenge like states. We work with the state.
Yes.
So
okay.
We are always making new programs for which the money. But now we have the money.
Yes.
Before,
yes.
So that's great, because we know that we will reach our goals.
Okay, I got it.
That's great.
Yes,
we have a lot of goals, but,
yes. If you have them and no money, it's not going to work. You need the money to make it happen.
It's hard.
Yes,
it's so hard. Yes, so that is like a really difference between the other programs that has reached a lot of state, and they have to say to the government also what they do. But now we are being working with the director of the program of our center, so it's different, because they are like our fathers also, and they want to do it well, that has so successful. So having the money and having our mentors working with us is been great.
And then you'll be able to sell it. So you turn it into something that I say is then truly sustainable, because you'll be able to sell a product, and that is what will keep the research and the evolution of it and all of the good things about it going forward, which is very hard to do if you're just working as a scientific design team without business partners. I mean, I've seen that with other conferences like Social Venture Network. There's these amazing ideas and designs, but implementing the business end of it is a big challenge, especially if you're going to scale it. So let me ask you this, and I don't know if you know the answer, and if you don't, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Will you, is it your hope among the BioNurse team and all of the people at CEDES, are you hoping that you'll be able to literally go to, let's say, someplace in Africa that might have similar climate, or other places in South America, and actually send a team in to help make this, you know, the biopatch work in their regions? Is that part of your dream?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and for that we have been thinking in this work with the nurseries.
Right.
And don't say us what will be the plants, because if we want to scale it, maybe like not us, like our group, but the methodology or how it works, the biopatch, could be if you work with a nursery in Africa, there will be different plants.
Got it. So yes, it'll be
scalable.
That's
that
right.
Is,
but you have to know what's happening in their region.
You have to work.
Right.
Yes, and they will have different acknowledgements and put it. It will every biopart of every different nursery is different, and it will depend on the climate or the country or the people that work.
Now,
for that, we think that it is scalable.
Yes.
But now we are working in what would be the real basis. Maybe it could be like from making from another discard, maybe not only corn, maybe it could be other kinds of discard, of dispatch of agriculture things. But we are working on that, for how make it scalable, but in like a local way, no?
Yes.
Like
yes.
A real...
Yes.
National company or industry, because we want to work it local. That we think that is like a real impact for a scalable, but little and a lot. I don't know if you understand.
No, it does. It makes so much sense. And when I say, you know, people that have been listening to my podcast for a long time, you can tell when I'm really excited about a project. And fortunately, I get to be very excited because of the things I do. But I really put a lot of thought into what this could mean for things like world hunger and things when the droughts get worse. Because nature does adapt. And we are going to have to constantly be using biomimicry to see what nature's doing so that we can adapt for our very survival. So this is such an exciting concept that you won the prize for. I mean, it is scalable, and I know that there will be different iterations of it. And the other thing, Camilla, that I just love that you, I would love it if you'd pass it on to your team, and I hope a lot of them listen to this, is that you did talk about there are no pesticides and insecticides and herbicides and, you know, spraying of things that deplete the soil and that harm the earth and that, you know, compromise our water supplies as well. So to me, there are so many multipliers of the good in this prototype. I mean, it's really, really exciting.
Yes.
So what else do you think we should cover? There isn't a lot of time left. And I thought about things like, do you have enough of a team in place to be able to keep moving forward? And will the seed money from the foundation help you get grants, or can you apply for other sources of funding? Because even though that's a lot of money, it's not all you're going to need to keep moving forward.
Mm-hmm. Yes. One of our things that we want to do as a team, because we are like a new team in the center, and with this challenge, we have also with the help of Megan Schutnick, that is great, is the great one.
And where is she from?
Megan Schutnick is the director of the challenge.
Oh, got it. Okay, so she'll want to listen to the show. Yes, Megan.
And
I did
she
not...
will do it.
Yay!
If she's doing, we love you, Megan.
Because yes, we'll have to
she
tell her that.
Is always behind. And she has light us with different challenges in the world. There's a lot of another initiatives to support the sustainable design and another way to making a better world. There's a lot of money and opportunities there. So
yes,
we want to. We think that our principal method to reach more funds will be looking international awards.
I love it. Yes.
It, for one side, is fun, and for another side, is open our minds, because we are more, as I say, you more designer, and it's a little hard for us to make more scientific funding, like a national level.
But what a wonderful thing for you to say is that you're right. It's just, and it goes back to what I said about, you know, your team wasn't just your team. It was obviously Megan. It's the farmers. It's the nursery owners that you work together and everybody ends up winning. And I think it's really exciting. The most exciting thing is I'm going to call Megan and say, can I go down there with you someday?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Of course. We have a lot of food here and really beautiful houses and sea and snow. It's a big country. It's like more than big. Chile is large, and you can find desert, sea, snow, forest, everything.
You name it, it has it. And I guess I'd like to know a little bit about, like, the community where you live. Was there a lot of excitement there about something like this and putting such a spotlight on this accomplishment? I mean, did the community rejoice with you and say, this is wonderful and we're doing something really important? What was the reaction there?
Yes, we have a really good reaction from the other centers too, because we work with a regional level. So the most of our initiatives are here in the region. Chile is divided by regions, different as the United States that is divided by states, I think.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Yes, here we have region, but it's similar, but we work in the five region. So this challenge that is a level, is an international award, has been really good for us, for the communication, and also for the young people that see us, that we could do it.
Yes.
It's been like really hopeful.
Very hopeful.
The other people.
Very hopeful. And I do want people, I want to spend just a couple of minutes telling people, because not everybody will click on all of the links that we put on our website page describing the show. But if you want to look at one thing that is absolutely adorable, and I have to say that, and exciting and fun, go to the Ray C. Anderson Foundation. There was a post that came up on October 22nd, and there, right on that page, is a picture of the biopatch. And you're right, it looks like a little peaked hat. It has a hat with a bottom, and it's really, it is fun, and it is innovative. And you can see, just by looking at it, how with the right packaging conditions, it could be shipped. You know what I mean? So that's something that you're going to have to think about when you're trying to, something that's going to retain water, have nutrients, microorganisms, and designed for, you know, the next generation of crops. But I would say, you know, definitely do that. And then I was very excited to see that you have a Twitter account, and it's Centro Ceres, and that's C-E-R-E-S. And it's in Spanish, but what I love is you can just click a button and it translates. I love it. So it is in Spanish. And then Facebook, you also have there's a Facebook page called Centro Regional Ceres, C-E-R-E-S. And I hope I'm doing a little bit of justice to the Spanish interpretation. And then you can find out more about biomimicry, which I'm obsessed about, at biomimicry.org. And of course, we had a wonderful show with Nicole Miller from Biomimicry 3.8. It's just something that anybody that's excited about the future and solutions wants to listen to this show and share it with people, and then know that there are people out there like you and the other Camilla and all of your team, the bio nurses, are working to come up with solutions. So what else do you have to say? We have like about a minute. I can't believe how fast it went.
Yes, was it really fun?
It was really fun, wasn't it? It's like we overcome the obstacles of the communication with, you know, bans on calling people, and we made it happen. So thank you so much, and I really do hope we meet again, maybe at Bioneers next year when you're winning another award. Our next show coming.
Maybe come to Chile.
Come to Chile. I'm going to keep that thought, I can tell you right now.
Okay.
March 30th, Colleen Crown and Shield, Clean Fuels, Know Your Options. And then another person from Bioneers, Vien Trong, who is the leader of Green for All, and talk about a wonderful other solution for the world's challenges. Camilla Hernandez, thank you for being a part of Mrs. Green's World. And everybody, make it a great green week. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gina. It was like really, really great time.
It was
bye-bye.
Great.
Thank
okay,
you.
Bye-bye.